Well, if you stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, Psalm 119, we are continuing in our study of Psalm 119. We have made it to the Hebrew letter Jod. And this is 73, verses 73 through 80. These eight verses, we'll read all eight verses this evening together. Beginning in verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Well, we are continuing on the Hebrew letter Jod, and we are moving along quite well. Okay? Out of 176 verses, we are on 73 through 80. Yay! Yay! That's great. You say only 100 left. Yes! Isn't that wonderful? And you say it's taken us 8 months to get this far. I know. That means you know exactly what to look forward to the next 10 months or so. Okay? Unless Jesus comes back and et cetera, et cetera. Or I disappear or whatever happens. But you understand that this is worth our time. This is worth our attention to once again rekindle the idea that the Word of God is wonderful. Wonderful. Full of wonder. In other words, it gets our attention. You know, someone asked me, how do you get people to read the Word of God? You read it. That's how you get to read it. You have to read it. Sometimes you have to do it mechanically, if you will, to get that longing and that desire. And sometimes you have to either put the training wheels on and help people out. Maybe young kids, you know, maybe you read it to them. And as the kids grow, you read it, you know, all in one setting or all together. And pretty soon it just happens that they read it on their own and such and so forth. And if you see someone falling off the tracks, maybe you have to kind of go back to square one and build that back up again. And listen, we are human beings. Remember we said that this morning? God's infinite, we're finite. Okay, you understand this? We digress, we transgress, we go backwards. God stays faithful. God's word stays faithful. The book's always going to be there to be read. We just have to get on the train and read it. And we got to learn to desire it. And long for it. And listen. We decide what we like. We decide what amazes us and what does not. We decide those things. Those are the things that we decide. God's word is not going to change. It's here. It is what it is. It is wonderful. We just have to decide it's wonderful. We just have to decide that it amazes us. We just have to decide that we want to eat it. That we want to read it, that we want to live it, that we want to see it, that we want to look at it, that we want to open it, that we want to have it around, that we want it to be in us, through us, around us, under us, over us, it, all over the place. You can use all kinds of prepositions for that. Now, listen, we've got to decide that this is the book for me. This is what I want. This is what I am amazed with in my life. The psalmist today, we're going to be looking at verses 73, 74, and 75. 76 through 80 are interesting, and we'll get to those next Sunday and the next Sunday after that. And so we'll look at those, but these three verses have to do with something very typical and critical in our lives. Let's look at verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding
that I may learn thy commandments. Now, it is very understandable that the psalmist is saying to God, God, you made me who I am. You fashioned me in my form. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. So, let's say we are in the land of imagination where things that are created talk. All right? And so the toaster that is being prepared and being put together and the electronic components and the metal components and all the levers and springs and switches and things like that, the cords and such and so forth, are being assembled together. And the toaster looks up at the designer and the creator and says to it, how am I supposed to work? What is my purpose? What am I designed for? When this lever gets pushed down, what do the insides of my being do? They turn on and toast the bread. Okay? And then when it's done toasting, it goes and pops up and the power shuts off. Okay? Exactly. So, I mean, this is a pretty simple thing, but the toaster says, well, I need to know these things because if I'm going to toast, I need to know how to toast. And I need to know when to turn on, and I need to know when to turn off, and I need to know when to pop up, and I need to know all these things. I need to know what to do. Hey, folks, we have been made, and we have been fashioned not to live according to our own design. The toaster doesn't say, okay, well, but I'm going to brew coffee. Now, that's a great thing to aspire to, even if you're a toaster. I mean, but you know what? That's not what it's for. Or it says, I'm going to project an image on the screen so people can watch me. I'm a TV toaster. That's what I'm going to do. And it's going to try to do that. Or it says, you know what? No, I don't want to do any of those things. I'm going to be a goldfish bowl. Because I want to hold goldfish and I want to see them swim around and spit out little bubbles and things and all that stuff. That's what I want to be. I don't want to toast. I want to hold goldfish. You say, Brother Combs, you have lost it completely. Not really. Well, maybe. But isn't that what we do as human beings? Instead of acknowledging to God like David did, that thy hands have made us, thy hands have fashioned us, give us understanding. We already said what understanding was. Understanding was coming into agreement with what he thinks. That's understanding. So what has God made you for? What has God fashioned you for? And have you come into agreement with it? That's what David's asking for. He's wanting to know what God has made him and fashioned him for so that he can learn his commandments and he can do what he's been created to do. And that's what we need to do. To submit to God. To say, God, I want to come to that point where I'm in agreement with you of what you have made me to be, what you have fashioned me to be, what I am designed for. If I'm a toaster, I'm toasting toast. And if I'm a goldfish bowl, I'm holding goldfish. And if I'm a coffee maker, I'm making coffee. And if I'm a television, I'm going to project images and sounds so that people can watch them. That's what I'm going to do. Because that's what you've created me to be. Turn over to Psalm 139. Just a few psalms. I guess it's flipping the pages to the left. Psalm 139. You're familiar with this passage of scripture beginning in verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. You understand that God knows us. He knows what we are designed for. Mrs. Frankie, Mrs. Combs, there is a little being inside of them being developed and molded. God already knows. Now, we do understand that the Frankies are going to have a boy. I'm praying that that'll be the case. Brother Camp said that we need to restrict members, future membership to people that have boy children. Because there's too many girls. I don't know. I'm just glad I got in under the wire. He said I was the reason for the rule. But you understand, we've got to understand that God already knows what it's going to be. I'm just glad it's a human being. You understand that we're fashioned and made according to God's design. And the psalmist gives yielding to what God has made him for. He said, give me understanding that I may keep thy commandments, that I may learn thy commandments. Because I want to be the toaster that you want me to be. I want to be the goldfish bowl that you want me to be. I want to do it according to your rules, to your instructions. Step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. That's how it's going to be done. Do you know that if you get this order of sequence of things in a toaster out of order, it's not going to toast very well. It might burn it. Or it might underdo it. Or it just might spark and electrocute you. I mean, who knows what it's going to do if it doesn't follow a specific design and order. And so are people that way as well. In Philippians chapter 3, in verses 12 to 21, it says, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know what we're supposed to do in our lives? We're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to be fashioned and formed according to his example, his template, his design. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You know what's wrong with our world today? They're not submitting to the design of God for mankind. They're not. They're coming up with their own solutions. They're coming up with their own ideas. They're coming up with their own steps. Step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. Instead of being toasters, they're being goldfish bowls. Instead of being televisions, they're being coffee makers. They're not doing it the way God has designed it to be done. They're doing it according to their own knowledge. They're doing it according to their own design. They're not submitting. They're not coming to an understanding so that they can learn the commandments of God. Rather, they're making their own commandments. And they're making their own rules. And they're making their own guidelines. And the Lord God formed man, Genesis 2:7, in the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verses 18 through 22, it says, And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Yeah. You know, I aren't you glad that Adam named Eve, Eve? Eve is three letters, right? He could have named her rib. That's three letters. Okay, that was a little joke. All right. You understand, though, that God had a design in this? God had a purpose in this? And what is our world trying to do today? Change it. They're not coming to understanding with God. They're doing their own thing. The psalmist says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18. Romans chapter 8, this is the design that we are made and fashioned by the hands of God to be. Look at Romans chapter 8. We were there this morning, if you'll remember. But in verses 18 to 30, he speaks about our design. It says, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the first fruits, or waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know what this is? This is according to God's design. This is us submitting to the will of God. This is us looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be the Christian that says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. That's what we should do. That's how we should act when we're trying to decide what to do with our life. Or who to be in our life. Or what to where to go. Or how to follow. Or what to make a career. Or to how to live life. Or what to do. Or what not to do. It should be according to God's commandments. And God's design. Made and fashioned by the hands of God. Turn back to Psalm 119. Verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Now, it seems a little bit boastful of the psalmist, doesn't it? I mean, how many of you woke up this morning and said, hey, the church folks will be glad when they see me? That's what I said when I woke up. They'll be glad to see me. Now, you know what, though? They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Why? Because David was all that in a bag of chips? No. Not because he was something special. But what did he say? Because I have hoped in thy word. He says, the people that fear God will be glad when they see me because I fear God and I've hoped in thy word. And it's worked out for me, and they'll be glad. You understand that as iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man sharpen the countenance of his friends? When people see God working in your life, they'll be glad because they know that God will work in their life. It's a reciprocating type thing. When we fear God, and it turns out well for us, then others that fear God will be glad because they know that God is God. And God is true. God is consistent. God is just. God is righteous. God is right in all his dealings with mankind. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in thy word. You know what? Over in Psalm 31... verses 19 to 20. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Psalm 60, verse 4, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. You know what we can display as a banner in our life? That God is true and every man a liar. That the word of God is the word of God. That he keeps the promises that he has made. He keeps the things. God is consistent. God is the same. God doesn't change. God is. And we can hold it up for a banner. Hey, listen. We understand that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh, it didn't say when. It just said that we would. You know, sometimes we get a little down because we see people going unpunished. But listen, you know what I'm hoping in? That God's word is true. They will be punished. And it's not for me to hold that as whether or not I'm going to do what's right. But rather, like the psalmist said here, that he is going to be, the people that fear God are going to be glad when they see me because I have hoped in thy word. That testimony, that example is a banner because of the truth of the word of God. Not because of the individual, but because of the book. You understand, David as he's telling us about this thought, that it's not because of how his life has turned out necessarily. It's because the word of God has been true. He has hoped in thy word. In Psalm 32, it says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Psalm 33:1, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Psalm 68:1-6, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah. And rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God settleth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land." You remember Proverbs 28, verse 12, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:6, in verse 7, "In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it." Turn your Bibles over to Jeremiah chapter 32. You understand that in Israel's history, the time of the prophet Jeremiah was not a good time. You understand that, right? It was a very difficult time, a time of judgment, a time of turning away from God. In Jeremiah 32, beginning in verse 37. Jeremiah 32, in verse 37. It says, "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them that do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And the field shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say it is desolate without man or beast, and is given to the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money, and subscribe evil evidences, and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, and in the cities of the mountains, and in the cities of the valley, and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord." You know what this is an example of? "Them that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word." You know, the only hope that Israel had of restoration was that God would keep his word. This is their only hope. Had they turned away from God? Yes, countless times. And had God always been faithful and true to them? Yes, countless times. That was the only thing they had to hang their hat on, that God would be true. And those that are righteous, those that fear God, the only thing that we have is hoping in his word. That's all we've got. "And we'll be glad. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Go back to Psalm 119, look at verse 75. You all are doing extremely well tonight. We are on track. You should be glad. Not because I'm here, but because of God's word. Amen? Look at verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Now, the last batch of verses, the eight before this, we talked consistently about the affliction in our life is not always a bad thing, and oftentimes it's a good thing. And you'll notice that God in his faithfulness hast afflicted me. You know, that's something we can count on. Is God using affliction to keep us in the right path? His judgments are right. Now, how many of you are like me and you really do not mind suffering for something that you have done wrong? Okay? You may not like it so much, but you really don't mind it because, you know what? I did wrong. I should suffer for it. I'm at least smart enough to know that. Okay? I mean, if I decide that I'm going to drive faster than that little number on the sign says, I should be okay with getting a ticket. Because it was my choice. Right? I mean, if there's an officer that decides to pull me over, why would I get mad at him? He didn't decide to go over the speed limit. I did. So, it's just for me to be afflicted. It's okay, because it's just. Now, if I'm not doing anything wrong, and there's nothing wrong with my vehicle, and all things are in order, and the guy just wants to be ornery and pull me over, I'm not going to be too happy about that. Because I feel like it's what? Unjust. Now, there aren't any officers like that. I know that for sure. But you understand? Who are we dealing with? Not men, but who? God. God. Did we not just read that all things are good and according to his purpose? You see, well then, affliction comes in my life, but I don't think I deserve it. Okay, but who's the judge? Man or God? And is God not righteous? By definition, his judgments are always... Yeah. You say, but I don't deserve this. I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. He's the judge. Why is this coming in my life, God? Why is this here? I don't think this is right. This is not fair. You didn't judge so-and-so this way. You didn't judge them this way. Why me? I believe the psalmist is saying, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. What an attitude. What a wonderful attitude. Would we not benefit from such an attitude? You know what? I, as a father, do my very best to make righteous judgments upon my children and my household. Now, I do not always succeed. But you know what? Life in my home would be a lot more peaceful if my children had this attitude. Come on, dads. Wouldn't it? Even if I was wrong in judgment, if my kids had this attitude, it'd be okay. Because they just accept whatever came down the pipe. Right? Because they say, Father, your judgments are righteous. Dad, you're right. And you've been faithful in afflicting me. Come on now, child of God. Think about this. What an attitude. Now, did David get his share of affliction? Oh, sure. But what an attitude he had toward it. And oh, child of God, if we would have such an attitude, we could be right with God too. Turn over to Nehemiah chapter 9. Here we have an instance where the people of God are coming back from captivity, rebuilding things. You know, Nehemiah is a great passage of scripture, a book of the Bible to study about leadership and those types of things. But you understand they're coming back from judgment and captivity back to the Lord, right? So in chapter 9, beginning in verse 5, it says, then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadimel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethaniah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. And didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showedest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, and on all his servants, and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day, and thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went up through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the depths, the deeps, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments, and true laws, and good statutes, and commandments. And madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts and statutes and laws by the hand of Moses, thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearken not to thy commandments, and refuse to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return their bondage. But thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them. What an amazing account of the faithfulness of God, of what the psalmist says about God, knowing that God in his judgments are right, and in faithfulness he has afflicted us. You understand that God is faithful. God is righteous. You don't mind hearing about Jesus, do you? Revelation 19 and verses 11 through 16, and I saw heaven opened. You know, I would love to have seen what John saw in these visions. I only have his words. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepresses of the fierceness of the wrath of God, of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's righteous. His judgments are right. And in his faithfulness, he hath afflicted us. You understand that David had many accounts where he justly received the affliction from God. And he knew that God was just. And he believed with all his being that God was a righteous judge. His judgments were right. Just a few more psalms and we'll be done tonight. A psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. That's Psalm 36. You understand the faithfulness of the judgments of our righteous God. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is righteous. And he is justified by his judgments. Psalm 40 verses 8 through 10. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Back to Psalm 119. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. It's the wonderful word of God, folks. And it's ours for the reading. It's ours for the living. It's ours for the memorizing. We get to consume this book. I hope that you do this week. I hope that it affects you the way that it affected the psalmist. I hope that his attitudes become yours as you grow in grace and in the admonition of the Lord.